I've mentioned before, if you're doing a presentation, how many people here have used PowerPoint? Too many, right? There is a power of three. For instance, if you have a page supporting a given idea, only have three bullets. Not two, not five, but three. Now this sermon is titled Short and Sweet. You might say three concise bullets are exactly that, short and sweet. Make your point. We humans seem to like the number three, don't we?
Yeah, people use the number three a ton.
A ton, exactly. They do use it a ton. And recognizing that today, we are going to use the power of three to answer the simple question, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? And to begin doing that, let's look at biblical reference one of three, Romans 10, 5 through 13. Romans 10, 5 through 13. Are we there? For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be what? Saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Right. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all. I went a little long, but I like that. I like that reminder. Are there all kinds of different churches, or is there one church? And is everybody welcome?
Yes.
Everybody's welcome. Who will be saved based on what we just read?
Whoever believes,
right? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. And of course it also says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And by the way, have you noticed how important that is? A lot of people say they believe in Jesus and then they start questioning something like the resurrection. No. And you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And also, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. It's relatively short, right? What we just read, relatively short, especially the part about salvation. Definitely sweet, but I wonder if reference number two of three can simplify it even more. So let's take a look at that. Acts chapter 2, 37 through 41. Acts chapter 2, 37 through 41. Excuse me. Are we there? Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his words were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And I could have stopped a few verses before based on this, the purpose of the sermon. So I'm breaking kind of my own rule about focusing, but I just love the part about how many souls were saved or added? 3,000. Is that not a praise God moment or what? Peter, a pretty regular guy, wasn't he? And definitely not a great orator like the super apostles that we discussed last week. Nevertheless, with the Holy Spirit, cut his Pentecost listeners to the heart and was asked, brothers, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. That is short, and the result is definitely sweet. We all can use forgiveness. We all need forgiveness. However, I'm wondering if we can simplify it even more with biblical reference. What did I say we were going to do from a power standpoint? The power of what, Augie?
Three.
Power of three. So I'm wondering if we can simplify it even more with a third reference, three of three, in our power of three. So this is Acts chapter 16. We're going to be looking at verses 25 through 31. 25 through 31. Acts chapter 16. Are we there? About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." It may not have been a convincing talk from an apostle that did it, but would you agree that the jailer was definitely cut to the heart? "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved." Now that is absolutely short and sweet, isn't it? What must you do to be saved?
Believe.
Right? Believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus. I like putting "believe in the Lord Jesus." I think I've told you before that I used to attend Alcoholics Anonymous, part of training. And one of the people spoke up and said, because it talks about believing in a higher power, and one of the people spoke up and said, "And the higher power doesn't have to be God. It could be the doorknob over there. You just need to believe in a higher power." No, it does matter. It does matter. So I do like believing in the Lord Jesus, but you've got it right. What must you do to be saved? One word, believe. Now, obviously, it has to be in the Lord Jesus. And there's something, by the way, in the word Lord, too, that I think is important.
Capital L.
Capital L, right? Believe in the Lord Jesus. That's it. Short and sweet. You can come to me and say, "But Alan, what about what we read before? Don't we have to confess with our mouth He is Lord, believe He was resurrected from the dead, call on His name, repent and be baptized?" We read all that, didn't we, this morning? And I'm sure people could open Scripture and come up with some more things. It says you have to do this and I do that. But what about all that stuff? Do you have to do that? Yes, of course. But if you believe, truly believe, and this is important, if you believe, truly believe in the Lord Jesus, won't you do all that? I mean, that's what it comes down to. Won't they all be natural consequences of truly believing in the Lord Jesus? We humans overcomplicate things. let's not overcomplicate salvation. Of all things, the most important thing we need, let's not overcomplicate that. Let's not overcomplicate salvation. It's not smart for us to do that, to overcomplicate it. It's not fair to others to make the burden of salvation not only untrue, but difficult. Let's keep it short and sweet. What must I do to be saved? Exactly. Believe in the Lord Jesus. Sweet and simple. And praise God for that. And see, this sermon was short and simple. 162 for the last song.